This is Never Gonna Say Goodbye, written by Orphan Account and read by Flower Parish. This is a Stranger Things fic, rated for teen and up audiences, featuring the relationship Steve Harrington / Eddie Munson. "I don't know what you're talking about," Steve says. "I can do casual sex. I'm great at casual sex. Friends with benefits will be a breeze." "You're full of shit," Robin says flatly. "What is that supposed to mean?" "You can't do friends with benefits, Steve." Eddie cringes from his hiding spot behind a shelf, like a criminal who's been doing friends with benefits with Steve. "You fall in love with every age-appropriate friend you have. Add chemistry and compatibility to that mix, and you're toast. Might as well slather you in butter and jam. That's how toasted you are." "I don't fall in love with all my friends," Steve protests weakly. Robin holds up a finger. "Nancy," she starts. "That doesn't count. We weren't friends until after we dated." She ignores him, putting up another finger. "Jonathan." Eddie frowns at that, mentally going back and pulling up every memory he has of Jonathan and Steve interacting. The jokes that Steve threw his head back to laugh at, the flush on his cheeks. It makes sense, and Eddie doesn't like it. Then he realizes how ridiculous that is. He's the one sleeping with Steve, a feat he's fairly sure Jonathan hasn't accomplished. Jonathan doesn't know the sounds Steve makes when he comes, or how amazing Steve looks on his knees. Eddie smugly puts his jealousy to the side in favor of listening in. Steve has turned bright red. "You can't... me?" He gives up trying to stop her, putting his head on the counter in shame. "Plus Eddie," she finishes, raising a fourth finger and waving it at him. Eddie nearly falls over with surprise. Sure, the whole conversation had been gearing up to it, but he wasn't expecting an actual confirmation. Steve doesn't even argue. 4 for 4, Steve, not including Tommy, Carol, the Tommy and Carol incident, or the time you made out with Argyle, which actually makes 7. Do I need to keep going? Whoa, what? Here he is being jealous of Jonathan when fucking Argyle is the one he needs to watch out for. Eddie briefly wonders if he can get away with putting hair remover in his shampoo or some shit. Weed out the competition. No, that's too far. He also wants to hear more about this Tommy and Carol incident. Robin is waiting for a reply, eyebrow raised. "No," Steve mutters into the counter. "That's what I thought." She hops up on the counter, lightly tugging his hair to get him to look at her. "I just listed all your friends who aren't toddlers, so which of them is it? Fair warning, if it's Jonathan, I'll just kill you to put you out of your misery." "Hey, what's wrong with Jonathan?" Steve asks, affronted. "Maybe Eddie should be jealous." "Nothing, except the part where he's your ex-girlfriend's boyfriend. Even if they are in the middle of the world's most awkward slow-burn breakup, that's not the dingus I know." "Are they really?" Steve asks, apparently oblivious to something even Eddie could see from outer space. "Doesn't matter. It's not Jonathan. It's Eddie." "Eddie," she echoes, entirely unimpressed. "Steve, you know I hate to be the voice of reason, but that is a remarkably bad idea. Like, Jesus, that's rough." "Ouch, he thought Robin liked him." Steve smirks. "So is he." "Ew." Robin throws a VHS case at him. "Ow, hey. Dingus, why is your brain so nasty all the time?" "Oh, like yours is so pure. I can see your rent history, Buckley. How many times have you watched Fast Times this week?" They're off, bickering like the world's worst comedy duo, and Eddie has to stifle his laughter into his hand. Jesus, but they could go on television with this shit. Buckley is a master at coming up with insults. Finally, they wind down, and Robin leans against Steve. "You know this is gonna break your heart, right?" she asks quietly, sadly. Eddie busies himself with studying the back of whatever movie is in front of him, pretending he's not straining to catch every second of this conversation. "I know," Steve answers. Eddie's heart skips a beat. "Worth it, though." "Is it?" His laugh is hollow. I guess we'll see. The thing is, Eddie doesn't want to break Steve's heart. He wants to hold it in his hands, feel along the steadily beating shape of it, learn all the things that make it tick, wrap it in bubble wrap, store it away in his own chest so that no one else can get to it, keep it safe. There's just one problem with that. Eddie's never been on a date in his life. Everyone knows Steve is a romantic. He's the kind of guy who will buy flowers for a date, chocolates for Valentine's Day, take you to the movie theater and make out in the back. All the classics. Eddie's version of romance, so far, has been sacrificing himself to the wet spot so Steve wouldn't have to deal with it. If he's going to date Steve, he wants to do it properly. Which, okay, they can't really risk necking in a theater, and they'd have to be careful at a diner, and Lover's Lake is out for obvious reasons, and Jesus, dating as a queer is fucking hard. He hasn't even been on one yet, and he's exhausted thinking about all the hoops they'll have to jump through. Maybe they could just get takeout in a movie, like they always do. No. He just said he was going to be romantic, damn it. What is romance, anyway? Really, it's just a false sense of meaning attributed to certain gestures instead of others. In a different universe, ding-dong ditching burning dog shit on someone's porch is probably a declaration of intent. No. Okay, romance. He can do romance. After all, he wrote the greatest love story of all time, between Sir Severus the Knight and the great bard Edith the Magnificent. He's never claimed to be subtle. He stares down at his notebook, page empty and mocking. He's going to need some help. With a huff and a dirty look at the notebook, he heaves himself out of bed, stalks through the hallway so he can punch a number in the phone with more than a little vehemence. Wheeler? Yeah, it's Eddie. Can you put your sister on? Romance, Nancy repeats, brow furrowed. You've been sleeping with Steve, and now you want to romance him. Yep. And you came to me and not Robin because... She can't keep a secret from Steve. Come on, Wheeler, you know this. She purses her lips in a way that he knows means she agrees with him. You know, she says, as someone who did date Steve, I think he would just be happy to be with you. You could be doing anything, and it would be amazing to him because you were there. Eddie stares at her. That's such a cop-out. Her face instantly goes from sweet to annoyed beyond comprehension. It's his favorite expression of hers. He makes sure to bring it out often. Eddie puts a single rose on Steve's nightstand. Yellow, like his favorite color. There, he thinks proudly. Declaration of intent. Nancy is less than impressed when he tells her. What's the problem? He asks, affronted. It's a fucking rose, in his favorite color. There's no way to misinterpret that. Did you even read the pages I copied for you? I started to, but then I remembered that yellow roses exist. He looks really good in yellow, and it's his favorite color, so he'd probably appreciate a yellow rose. See? Romantic. She closes her eyes and takes a deep breath before pulling the book off her nightstand and flipping through the pages. He doesn't get what the big deal is. He thinks his idea was a pretty fucking swell, actually. He tells her so. The answering look she gives him could level a city. It's a nice idea, she tells him. The sentiment is right. It would be perfect if his favorite color was anything else. What's wrong with yellow? She purses her mouth and shows him the book, open to roses and their color meanings. Son of a bitch! Friendship roses. Fucking friendship roses. Most ridiculous thing he's ever heard. The end.